Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service, where we've been breathing words into your life since 1983. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, and we're reading the Gospel of Luke right now. We'll also read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling. It's written by Sarah Young. It's part of my daily Christian life. And from time to time, we'll read some other words of encouragement from other theologians and Christian writers. But as we always do, as we begin each reading, we begin our day in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful as we enter our week of Easter. Heavenly Father, we are reminded of this great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose life and death and resurrection gives us the faith that we have. Lord, we thank you for the words that we'll be listening today from Luke, words that teach us about Jesus and his life, his ministry, words that will bring us closer to him and closer to you. We are so grateful for Jesus' sacrifice. We are so grateful for the people of the North Carolina Reading Service to provide this opportunity for our listeners to hear your word, your message. Father, we pray for those who are ill, those who are suffering. We pray for those who are lost. Father, may your words be an encouragement. May we learn to live and to share your holy word. Father, we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Sarah Young has for us today these words. Let me fill you with my love, joy, and peace. These are glory gifts flowing from my living presence. Though you are an earthen vessel, I designed you to be filled with heavenly contents. Your weakness is not a deterrent to be filled with my Holy Spirit. On the contrary, it provides an opportunity for my power to shine forth more brightly. As you go through this day, trust me to provide the strength that you need moment by moment. Don't waste energy wondering whether you are adequate for today's journey. My spirit within you is more than sufficient to handle whatever this day may bring. This is the basis for your confidence. In quietness, spending time alone with me, in confident trust, relying on my sufficiency, is your strength. And there are two scriptures to support this reading today. First is from 2 Corinthians, verse 4 through 7. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then as Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 reads, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Thank you, Miss Young, as always, for your wonderful words. If you recall, last week we got through a big chunk of Luke, parts of chapter 4 all the way through chapter 7, so we'll begin with chapter 8. But we really started getting into the bulk of Jesus' ministry last week, and people were seeking out Jesus for healing. And although in the Bible we hear a lot about the physical healing, sight being given to the blind, leprosy being made clean, the lame people walking again, and yes, even dead people being raised to life. What happened to the spiritual portion of those people? What happened to the miracle? Were they, do their lives change just physically, or do they also change spiritually? I venture to say that because of faith, most of these people were healed. That faith brings a change in our lives. The faith in Christ brings a changing of our heart and our minds on what we feel and how we behave and what we think and why we think it. So, yes, I do think that although there was some physical healing demonstrated last week, and we'll see some more this week, the real meaning here is that spiritual healing. The healing from darkness to light, the healing from nothingness to somethingness. So please join me in the words here of Luke, and we'll take this venture together. We begin with chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear it, and then the devil comes and takes away some of the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they heard it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain the word, and are persevering, producing a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He even commands the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed into the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains, and he had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged him to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man called Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus went on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up to him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone in except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all this that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. That's John the Baptist. Others said that Elijah had appeared, and still others said that one of the prophets from long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear so many things about?" And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. And the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who were needing healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that we can go to the surrounding villages and countryside to find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "Give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go buy food for all this crowd." There were about 5,000 men there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to his disciples and set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone this, and he said to them, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." That's a great reflection point. And this is chapter 9, verse 23. "And then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." Those are complex words, not easy to understand and not easy to do. Jesus' encouragement and the reality of it is this: we are to praise the Lord our God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And this is what Jesus is telling us here, is that when we do that, our lives become his. We are no longer ourselves. We become part of him. We lose our lives because of him. We want to give him our lives. And that's what he asks us to do. Not easy, but it's the path of salvation. Verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring into fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He really did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at any time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they would not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him sit beside him. Then Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest." "Master," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for whoever is not against you is for you." As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God." Chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter the town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would not have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up into the skies. No, you will go down into the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like the lightning from sky. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The expert of the law replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side of it. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took the man on his donkey, put him at the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, The one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, Go and do likewise. That parable is our reflection point for today. It's just a beautiful reading, a beautiful verse. Our neighbor is anyone that we come across, anyone in need, anyone that could use the service of hearing the good news of Jesus or feeling the love that Jesus has through you. That's who our neighbor is. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That concludes chapter 10 from the Gospel of Luke. Next week we'll start with chapter 11. I do want to conclude today with a prayer and encouragement. Martha and Mary is a famous story in the Gospel, and that's where we conclude today. And Martha, although she was very excited to have the Lord in her home and prepared some things for him, just as many of us are excited that the Lord is in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, let's not forget that being with him always, having him at the forefront of our mind always, having his love in our hearts and sharing that love and learning from him, that's what's important. Is there's an education and then there's an application, and Jesus calls us to apply his words and his wisdom and his love to the world, and we ask that we do the same. Thank you, Father, for our audience, and we thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service. Our program is named Reflections. Please be sure to join us next week for Easter. We hope that you've enjoyed these special words. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I have been reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. Our content is for the blind and print impaired. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us some feedback by calling 919-832-5138. May God bless you this day and every day.